Good morning. Welcome to Bain Street United Methodist Church. How about greeting each other? I don't mean continuing the conversation. I mean, how about greeting each other and passing the peace of God to your neighbors next to you, across the aisle from you, behind you? I hate to interrupt this wonderful greeting, but we need to move on with the service. There are a couple of announcements that I would like to call to your attention. If you would please turn to the back of your bulletin. You will notice that the Wednesday night gatherings are going to resume. They will begin this coming Wednesday, January the 11th. And I think you... Thank you, Mr. Free. If you will notice the very last statement about that, about our gathering, it's really, really important. $56 might not seem like a lot, although if you add it to the Christmas bills you've got, you may discover $56 mounts up pretty quickly. We ended up $56 in the hole the last time because of the no-shows. It's critically important that we don't waste food and that we cover the food that we are purchasing. So please turn in your reservations. And if you are not coming, if you do normal reservations and say, give me a reservation for the whole term, for the spring, for the remainder of the gatherings, please let us know if you're not able to come, because that does make a difference. We need more attendance at the Wednesday night gatherings to make the money and the food work out. So please look at your calendar and make an effort to attend the Wednesday night gatherings. This first one will be finishing up the pill packing for the mission trip. Then we're going to have an opportunity to have a study on John Wesley's home and home life. That's coming up in the spring too. So please look at the programs, please look at your calendar, and prayerfully consider your commitment to the Wednesday night meetings. I also want to remind you that the January and February upper rooms are available in the narthex and at the side door where the fellowship hall entrance is. And I want to do a little bit of a tease. You notice that we are coming up with a new newsletter format. We are also going to be doing some work with a logo. We're going to be freshening up and making a little more contemporary the image for Main Street. And we're going to have a big awakening and a press release on the 1st of February. We need a newsletter name, so please take that into consideration so that you can pass that on. And don't miss that gathering. Whatever you do, don't miss that one, because that's going to be a really fun evening. And I also want to call to your attention the exercise classes. New Year's resolutions, better health, get physically fit, all those things. That's a good one. And it's one that you can satisfy here in the church. Now, let us continue to prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we listen to the chiming of the Trinity and the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship? The powerful voice of God created all worlds. That same voice calls us to worship. God's strength shakes the wilderness. That same strength is offered to people of faith. Come together to remember your baptism, gather to celebrate the Spirit's gifts.
Let us join together in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. In the beginning, O God, you fashioned the universe. Each star and planet had its beginning in you. Out of the void, you brought light and life. Through eons of creativity, You have acted, and today we are here, inherit of an amazing process, tiny specks in the limitless reaches of time and space. And you are here, waiting to greet us. As you acted in our baptism, you are acting still to make all things new within us and among us. Let your light awaken us, and your Spirit empower us for faithful living. Amen. And joining together in our affirmation of faith, as followers of Jesus Christ, living in this world, which some seek to control, but which others view with despair, we declare with joy and trust, our world belongs to God. From the beginning, through all the crises of our time, until His kingdom fully comes, God keeps covenant forever. Our world belongs to Him. God is King. Let the earth be glad. Christ is victor. His rule has begun. Hallelujah. The Spirit is at work, renewing the creation. Praise the Lord.
Old Testament reading this morning is a reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, which may be found on page 1 in your pew Bible. Let us hear what God is saying to us today. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Our epistle reading follows, which is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, which may be found on page 169 in the New Testament in your pew Bible. Attend to this reading from God's Word. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed the inland regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
gospel lesson this morning is from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. If you wish to follow along in your pew Bible, it begins on page 42 in the New Testament. Please stand for the reading of this gospel. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leathery belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am very well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, on this day, as we are reminded of our beginning of faith, the times of our commitment and rededication to you, the time that calls us to reaffirm within our heart that Jesus Christ is the long-awaited Son of God. We thank you, dear God, for the privilege to prepare the way that others might hear this good news, for the privilege to reach out with food to those who are hungry, or clothing to those who are cold, or habitation for those who have no place to stay. And we pray, dear God, that you will continue to lead us and guide us as your people, that in all that we do, and that all that we say, that our utmost goal is that individuals come to know the relationship that we are enjoyed to have through Jesus Christ, a relationship with our God. We thank you, dear God, that we can make our confessions and that we can know that you hear us and that you forgive us. We pray again for those within our church family who have special needs this day, that your holy presence indeed would comfort them and touch them. And those who are listening to us by ways of the radio, we pray, dear God, that you would reassure them of our love and our care and embrace them again as an extended part of our family. Touch them again, O God. Let your holy presence meet their need, whatever it may be. Be with those in leadership over our country, those in leadership in the church, those serving in faraway places, and those on the mission fields, praying as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and
and the glory forever.
Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Holy God, we are so thankful for the privilege to give of ourselves, to give of our time, to give of our talents, and to give of our resources. And we thank you, dear God, for these gifts. Bless the giver and gift, and those who had not or chose not to give this day. Let these resources be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, here at home and around the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let the children come forward for children's time. Thank you. You may be seated. We have talked this morning about John the Baptist, about this guy that came on the scene and was anything but normal. We remember Mary as she went to visit Elizabeth and how the babe jumped within Elizabeth's womb. And that was John the Baptist. As I reread these passages of Scripture, and as I think about this colorful character, and I wonder, when was it that John the Baptist received his calling? When was it that he became aware of exactly what his mission and ministry should be? Where did he find the courage to become this radical individual who dressed with camel's hair, that itchy garment, and lived out in the desert and ate whatever it was that he could find to eat in the desert? It reminded me of some of my training in the military when we were in survival training, and they told us that anything that we found in the desert was edible. Whether it was a rodent or a snake or whatever, because what contaminated animals was when they lived close to civilizations. So if we found ourselves away, then we could rest assured that whatever we found to eat, it wouldn't kill us. As I think about this less than profitable individual who comes proclaiming this message of preparing the way for God's Son, and I think about the wilderness, how many times has God called the children of Israel out into the wilderness? Well, we remember, if we've been to Sunday School 101, that the children of Israel were slaves down in Egypt, and God sent a man called Moses, and he led them across the Red Sea. Had the children of Israel, some of them had their way, they would have gone back to Egypt because they said it was better to be there and to eat locusts and wild and eat garlic and onions than it was to die out in the wilderness. I remember what a professor said. It's one thing to get God's people out of Egypt. It's another thing to get Egypt out of God's people. As I think about the wilderness and how God is calling John here, obviously, to the wilderness, and people are coming out into the wilderness to be baptized by him. And in our life, when we speak of having wilderness experiences, those traumatic ordeals, it could be economic, it could be social, it could be in your job, where you feel as though you're being forced out into this no person's land almost emotionally. And yet here is the very place where God is endeavoring to speak to us His words, to reaffirm to us His ability to care, His love. For it was there, as John was baptizing, that Jesus was revealed. I remember God is quoted in the Old Testament speaking to the children of Israel, and He tells them, I will be your God. There will be no nation like you. You will have no king. You will have no standing army. I will fight your battles for you. I will be your king. And how they said, well, we would rather have things our way. We would rather have our own king. And we would rather have our own standing army. How many times is it in our life that we would rather have things our way rather than God's way? Rather than to experience God's presence. As I was preparing for this sermon, a minister was quoting in one of his sermons, and he said that we are a consumer-driven American society, and so we like to say that we have the best Sunday school, and we have the best preacher, and we have the most beautiful building, and we have the best choir. When really what we're called to be is a people who lift up Jesus Christ. And because of who we are and the way we are and how we lift up Christ, Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. I'm reminded of John. From this point on, John begins to decrease. And how the apostle said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Many times we want things our way. We have our own ideas. And sometimes our way and our ideas are not God's way and are not God's ideas. Sometimes we're disobedient. Sometimes we're rebellious. Sometimes we're stubborn. And yet God continues to reach out to us with forgiveness and love. It's important that we learn to repent. It's important that we say, God, not my will, but your will. God, not my way, but your way. There in the wilderness, God revealed himself to the children of Israel in a way that we still read about. And we still talk about. And we realize that they were stiff-necked and stubborn. And so John comes at this time and he begins to preach to them a new way. a way that doesn't necessarily call them to the temple, but a way that calls them to a relationship with Christ and to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. It fills our songs and fills our services and fills our church with God's presence. Repentance is not just being remorseful. It's not just admitting mistakes. It's not just saying that I have been foolish. We've all said those things. Repentance is more than just being sorry for what we've done. A Sunday school teacher asked a class what the word repentance meant, and a little boy put up his hand and said, "It's being sorry for your sins." A little girl raised her hand and said, "It's being sorry enough to quit." Repentance is a spiritual revolution. Repentance sometimes is a hard thing to do. And yet, it's essential. Repentance can be a breaking down of our pride, of our selfishness, a breaking down of our hunger for prestige. A willingness to turn away from that which the world calls success. And a surrendering of our self-will. A schoolgirl was asked after an experience of conversion, she says, "What were you before?" And she said, "A sinner." And then she was asked, "Well, what are you now?" She said, "A sinner." They said, "What's the difference?" She said, "I was a sinner running after sin, but now I'm a sinner running from sin." John the Baptist, that unusual human being, calling people away from that which they were familiar, calling people out into the wilderness to experience a transformation. Somebody said there are two types of organizations in our world. There's the elephant organization and the flea organizations. The elephant organizations are slow and move along kind of definitely. And the flea ones are the ones that jump and move around and ping from here to there. And said, John Baptist definitely was a flea. He was calling people away from the elephant organization into a place where people were experiencing a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many times in sharing with individuals, I've asked the question, how do you cause individuals to be aware of their need for repentance? and I don't have the answer. I don't know how to cause individuals to come to the realization that they need to confess their sins to God. Especially when some individuals think, well, I'm a good person. And they think of all the things that they have done that are good. I remember Job in the Old Testament when he was justifying himself and he said, I was eyes to the blind, I was feet to the lame, I was clothes to the naked, I was food to the hungry. And God said to him, Job, where were you when I formed the world? Where were you when I created all of this? And Job said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm an unclean man. Job repented. And that was the beginning of Job's healing. I don't know how to cause people to understand their need for repentance. But I do know that I can say of an assurance that the one thing that God wants with all of us is a relationship. A relationship where we are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are those who choose to follow Him and listen to Him. And we don't endeavor to follow our own devices. John said about Jesus, I'm not worthy to unloosen the thongs from His sandals. What is your testimony today? Do you have that same allegiance to Christ, where you realize that all of your righteousness is but filthy rags? All of the good that you would do are nothing compared to the love that God has for us. Within our church, it's not so much whether we have the best this or that or the other. The question is, where are we in our relationship with God? Where are we in our relationship with one another? Is Christ being exalted in our lives? Can people come here and experience the infilling power of the Holy Spirit that John spoke about? You and I are the catalysts for that. As we open our hearts in repentance, and as we affirm indeed that we are children of God. The other day I was visiting with my cousin, and we were sharing about the Protestant Reformation, and my cousin is a Catholic. And we were sharing together, and I said to him about all that I saw that happened and he in the Protestant Reformation, and he looked at me and he said, Terry, it had to happen. It had to happen so that the church could be changed. It had to happen so that the Catholic Church could be changed. He said, the Catholic Church is today what it is because of the Protestant Reformation. And I thought about us. And who are we? And I remember Martin Luther at some of his most stressful times, when he felt as though his very life was going to be taken from him. And I remember in reading in history how that one day he took the inkwell and threw it in his room against the wall at what he perceived to be the very embodiment of Satan that was there in the room with him. And Martin Luther said, at his most trying times. He would put his hand to his forehead and he would say, I am baptized. I am a child of God. Today, like John, is that your confession? I'm baptized. I follow him whose thongs of his sandals I'm not worthy to bend down and to loosen. I am a child of the King. And when we point beyond ourselves to Jesus Christ, we're not only free from the heavy self-conscious burden to impress, but our entire lives are turned outward as we are transformed into joyful and expected disciples of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know of John's confession. My question today, what is your confession? What is your proclamation of faith? Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 347, Spirit Song. Let us stand together. Our benediction this morning is a responsive benediction found in your bulletin. And as you're finding your bulletin, I would remind you to be in prayer for Larry, our music director and worship leader. He is in school down in Florida, studying in a renewed worship program that he has discovered. He's doing a master's level program that will assist him in being a better servant of Christ as he labors among us. He is worshiping today in a Russian Orthodox church where the service is 2.5 hours long. So even though he's in the beautiful state of Florida in 70-something degrees, he will have to wait a while till he gets out of church where he can enjoy it. But we do pray that you'll pray for he and his wife during this time of their separation, that God will be with them. We go forth as a people of shalom. May the peace of God be with you.